Welcome to Candid Catholic Convos, a program brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg. Our mission is to humanize the Church and help you to grow in your faith, love, and understanding. I'm your host, Rachel Trochet, a cradle Catholic who's only human and struggled with faith on more than one occasion. Each week, you'll hear engaging, down-to-earth interviews and actionable strategies you can implement into your life with ease to help you grow closer to God. If you're ready to open your heart and step fully into the person God created you to be, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hey there. Thanks for joining me on another episode of Candid Catholic Convos. In some capacity, I've been working since I was 14 years old. I started as a pet sitter, then a babysitter. I was a lifeguard, a swim instructor. I held summer and work study jobs, internships. And eventually, I graduated to full-time work. But I wasn't happy with the work that I was doing. So I did what any 20-something-year-old does when faced with a quarter-life crisis. I started my job hunt. And it was fruitless for a very long time. I felt hopeless. I wanted someone to just hand me the job that I wanted to do. I felt I had paid my dues and had all of my qualifications. Why couldn't I just have what I wanted? Years later, I switched gears into motherhood. But being a working parent is not for the faint of heart. I went back to work when my oldest was only 8 weeks old. And at the time, I was going into a brand new job. One that was going to fulfill me, I was sure of it. But it didn't. Then I thought, well, maybe I'm called to be a stay-at-home mom. Maybe I'm not supposed to work as hard anymore at being both a working professional and a parent. That will absolutely fulfill me. And in some respects it did, but I still felt something was missing. Like, I wasn't living up to my purpose. It was only then that I realized that I was being called to wait. And instead of being frustrated that God wasn't working on my schedule, I decided to use this waiting time to better myself. To understand what I was truly looking for in a job, what was actually important to me, and educating myself in the meantime so that I could be the best possible candidate. It also taught me I need to slow down. Life isn't a race. And, in the famous words of Ferris Bueller, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you might miss it. This week's episode was actually recorded in September of 2023 with Brian Lynch and Dominic Biocchi from our newly formed Young Catholic Professionals Networking Organization. But we're bringing it back today because of some pretty amazing updates. If you're an adult in your 20s or 30s, mark your calendars for January 26th from 7 to 9 p.m. because Young Catholic Professionals South Central PA is officially launching and we're hosting a free launch party at the Keystone Atrium building. Join us for a fun night of networking filled with drinks, appetizers, and desserts. Meet other young professionals who are excited about integrating their faith into the workplace. And enjoy a special greeting from Bishop Senior to kick off the YCP South Central PA chapter. For more info and details on how to register, visit www.youngcatholicprofessionals.org/chapter/South Central PA. Dominic and Brian, thank you so much for joining me on Candid Catholic Convos. I'm really excited to get to talk to you today and pick your brains a little bit about young Catholic professionals. And I would love if you guys could just tell me a little bit about yourselves.
Yeah. So my name is Brian Lynch. I live in Lancaster. I grew up outside of Lancaster in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. I went to school there, then went to college at Bucknell University up in Lewisburg. Went to grad school in North Carolina at NC State after that, and then moved back to the area about 4 years ago. I currently work in data analytics for JP Morgan, and I'm helping to start the Young Catholic Professionals Group in the Harrisburg Diocese.
Hey, everybody. My name is Dominic Biocchi. I was born and raised and currently live in Harrisburg. I went to grade school and high school in the area, and I studied accounting and got my MBA at Chippensburg University. And currently now I work in the finance department at a local nonprofit.
That's awesome. So Young Catholic Professionals is fairly new. Is that correct? Because this is the first time kind of hearing about it.
So for the diocese, yes. The organization is actually a national organization. It's been around for about 10 or 15 years. There's 34 chapters around the country currently, and they're the national organization's goal is to have 50 by the end of 2024. So we're starting one in the Diocese of Harrisburg, and we'll be one of those between the 34 and 50 mark. But yes, it's a relatively new initiative by the diocese that we're heading up here.
How did you guys get involved? Were you part of a different Young Catholic Professionals? Like you mentioned that it's nationwide, or was this something that you just kind of saw an opportunity and decided to partner with the diocese to advance it?
Yeah, so in 2021, I saw that the Young Catholic Professionals in Philly, or that I saw that Young Catholic Professionals was starting a chapter in Philly, and I decided to go to their big launch event. It was in August of 2021. It was an unbelievable event, especially coming out of COVID. I think it was really like the first big event, especially of that size that I'd been to. There ended up being close to 300 young adults that showed up for this launch party. And that was really the beginning of their chapter. Over the course of the next year or so, I would go to events here or there. I live in Lancaster, so the event was more on the western side of their diocese in, like Conshohocken or Malvern or somewhere easily accessible by the turnpike. I'd try and make it to their happy hours or speakers or whatever types of events they were having. And then come July of 2022, through a friend of a friend, I was approached about starting a chapter in the Harrisburg Diocese. Deacon Greg Amarante at the diocese asked me if I'd ever heard of YCP before. And I said, well, actually, I've been going to some of these events down in Philly, or in this surrounding areas of Philly. And he said, well, I think this is something that we'd really like to start here in the diocese. Would you be interested in starting or in helping to start this chapter? So then I started talking with him, with Zach Haney at the diocese. And then we got in touch with the national organization and we started to get the ball rolling on starting a chapter here in the Harrisburg Diocese.
That's pretty cool. It's very much a like very serendipitous of, oh, I know a guy who knows a guy, and then we like that's how it just got started. I think that's really cool. So who is Young Catholic Professionals for? Is there an age limit, a certain type of profession that you need to be in?
Yeah, generally, Brian, you can go into specifics, but generally, it's really just, young Catholic adults in their 20s and 30s, looking, and to the point on the profession, it could be, any profession, really. It's looking for that, but it's just that extended, sort of outreach for, young Catholic professionals yearning for more than just the daily tasks of their job, and trying to mold faith within that. But Brian, more specifically.
So as Dom says, yes, for young adults in their 20s and 30s, there are opportunities though for older, more experienced professionals to get involved if as speakers, donors, board members. We do have an advisory board. We need at least six people on the advisory board. Currently, we do have six people now, but we're more than welcome to, or we're more than happy to have more board members. I really like this organization because it's not just for young adults. Like, yes, the young adults are the ones attending the event, but young adults are there to learn about how to incorporate their faith into their work life. And we're there to learn from not just each other, but also more experienced professionals. So there are plenty of opportunities, like I said, to be a speaker, a mentor, a board member, a donor. There are other opportunities for people outside of the young adult age range.
Got it. Got it. So I kind of want to back up a little bit. When I asked you about yourselves, I purposely didn't ask, you know, what do you do for a living? Partly because I feel like a lot of people that's so common of, you know, the follow-up question of, you know, what's your name is, what do you do? And I think a lot of people tend to tie their worth to what they do, what their job is, as though that's the most valuable thing about them. So how do you separate what you do and who you are?
Yeah, I think for me, it's, and I think we'll talk about it a little bit later too, but in this hybrid remote work environment, I think it's hard to sort of separate sometimes what is work and what is, you know, turning off the switch between personal and work life. So really when I think about it, it comes down to sort of four core ideals. Really, is it's for you to define your values and interests. You know, is the value that you think is derived through work, or is it through faith? Is it through family? It's important to define those because you set your boundaries, which sort of leads into my next point of, you know, setting the boundaries, right? Is it, I work, this is my job, this is my faith, this is my family, or is it work and then those, you know? So is it, we shouldn't be, you know, setting aside for those, for just work. More work related though, is really setting the boundaries as well as setting up like a physical office space, right? Like trying to remove yourself from that location. And then lastly for myself is just unplugging and pursuing your interests outside of your job, right? I mean, work isn't everything. So defining who you are is, it's not just a job, you know, it's setting those four, to me, setting up those four, you know, those four pillars of being able to just sort of define yourself.
Yeah, I think for me too, I mean, I've been reflecting on this over the last few months. My job, I like my job. I like the people I work with. I'd say overall satisfaction is pretty high with my job. But yet when I walk away at 5 o'clock or 5:30 or whenever I'm done every day, a lot of days it's like, all right, well, you know, what's next? You know, I find that it's not total satisfaction in life isn't just my job. So it's been interesting to me because I've had jobs that I've not liked and have been tough. And so, you know, I knew that there was always another side of things that, you know, I should be filling my time with things that fulfill me in other ways. But it's been interesting to me to see at this point that, yeah, you know, I do really like my job, but, you know, we definitely need, faith and family and friends and all the other components in our life to be complete, I guess, which is a better way to say it.
No, that's a great way to say it. And yeah, to find that fulfillment, because your job might fulfill you in one aspect of life, but if that's all you have, then you're not totally fulfilled, if that makes sense. And I love that you brought up that you've had positions that you were unhappy with, because I remember early, these are things that I wish I had learned in my 20s of like, it's not just your job, because my very first job out of college was one that I was not a fan of. And I was almost embarrassed to like tell people what I did for a living because it was not what I wanted. Like and they were like, oh, well, you went to school for this and now you're doing this. And I'm like, yeah, well, it's a means to an end. Like it pays the bills, but the fulfillment wasn't there. And I didn't have like stuff outside. So like, even if I wasn't finding fulfillment in my job, I could have found fulfillment elsewhere. And I wasn't because I didn't know. Let's talk about what you would do. Like you mentioned being in a job that you're not happy with, or let's say that you suddenly lose your job. And if your whole identity is tied to what you do and you experience a crisis of identity of sorts, how do we continue to push forward, or better yet, find where we're supposed to be and follow God's calling?
Yeah. So I think, Brian, you can speak to this as well, but I the first couple of years in my career, I worked at a job that springboarded me, but it was very, very rigorous. It was long hours. It was hard work. And there was that sort of that crossroad where I came to of, okay, is it job, or is it what you know, really that you know, deep down really care about, family, you know, the Catholic faith. And basically, practically, we've probably heard of it before, but the a pros and cons list, right? But I thought of it of, what do you need in life versus what do you want, right? So there's things that we need and there's things that we may want. Is it the satisfaction of the job? Is that all we want? Is it the money that we want? So really I sat down and, you know, made a list. You know, you sit there and pray. I mean, that's a huge thing that we can do too, right? Is constant and meaningful prayer. And so I did that and I said, you know, at this point, I think there needs to be a change, because from what I need and what I want just weren't, they just aren't converging. And so I'm not going to say it was easy. It was a hard decision. I enjoyed the people I worked with, but it's something that I needed to do, right? And, you know, we aren't promised rainbows and sunshine when it comes to these sort of things. Our life isn't supposed to be, you know, it isn't easy all the time, right? The decisions are to be hard. But I think if you take those prerequisites up to that point with praying and thinking and talking to friends, family, significant others, you know, I think there's always divine intervention at work. And so I think it really comes down to those things. And ultimately, if you tie those together, I think you're going to be happy in the long run.
Yeah. Reflecting on the positions that I've had too, it's God has drawn me to them for different reasons. Even I think when I think about it, both like in the short term, when I was looking forward, interviewing, there's certain things that were attractive about the different positions, but also, you know, it was preparing me for something in the future. So right now I think about those things, like, you know, what is this preparing me for? Or is there something that I can do with the skills that I'm gaining right now that can be, you know, used for good in some way? Or is there an organization that I could work with that, you know, could really use these skills, you know, and benefit the community, or some sort of Catholic organization? You know, like, is there something within, you know, the realm of my field that I could use what I've learned and the experiences that I've had for good? Because, I mean, right now with my job, I mean, I work in a corporate job. I do data work. It's a, you know, it's good stuff that we do. It benefits different clients. I work, you know, for a huge bank, and, you know, it's fulfilling to some degree. But I think, you know, when you ask this question to me, I'm sort of thinking through all of this as well, and thinking about, how is what I'm doing now, is this good as it is, or is there something else that I should be thinking towards or looking towards?
I love that, because my husband and I experienced like job loss at the same time at one point, and we were both like, all right, now what do we do? And you're right. Like, God does some of his best work while we're waiting, while we're searching for the next best thing. And it kind of goes back to what you said, Dominic, about setting boundaries, because I had taken some time off to be a mom. And when it was time for me to go back to work, I was like, if the job that I get does not have X, Y, and Z, that it's not going to fulfill me. It's not going to be worth it for me to accept the position if it doesn't meet these standards. I think that's awesome. Like, it just gives us time to think, and it gives us, you're right, God has this way of redirecting us in this way that we're not fully aware of a lot of the time.
And I think too, Rachel, when it comes to, just to frame it up as well off of Brian, you know, there's always going to be those challenging times in our jobs. And I think it also, not so much that we need to jump right to, you know, I'm quitting, I need something else. You know, it's also about frame of reference and framing it in a way that is thinking about it, where possibly this is a sacrifice, right? Is this something that, maybe it's not all the time, but this is something that I can offer up? Is this something that I can do, and just frame it differently so that I can make it into a positive instead of, you know, trying to convert it into something that could be negative. So I think, you know, I think that's important to note as well, that it's those times too, that it can be challenging, right? Again, it goes back to this. It's not easy, Not always going to be easy, but even trying to frame those hard times too, I think is important mindset for especially younger professionals to have.
Absolutely. Like it's going to be, there's a difference between a challenging environment versus an unhealthy environment, but the challenges of like, oh, I have to commute to work today, or, oh, I've got this project deadline. Like those are going to be there. And I loved how you put that of just reframing it. That's something you can absolutely offer up for somebody who maybe is out of a job or maybe can't work for health reasons. And that's such a great way of putting that. So thank you for sharing. And it kind of leads me into the next question of sometimes I feel like there's this push and pull of what we want versus what God wants for us, especially when it comes to a career or any kind of vocation. What are your thoughts on, does God want us to be successful, and what does success look like?
I think God does want us to be successful. I just think that his definition of success is different than the world's definition of success. And I mean, you look at people like the CEO of Domino's, who is a very Catholic, very faithful man who used his money and his influence to create this large Catholic, like physical community in Florida, you know, and that's, he was very successful in the world's terms. Like he had a lot of money, he had, you know, influence, all of that, but yet he's using that to create this, you know, great community. So I think God does want us to be successful. God does want us to strive to be the best that we can in our work ethic. But also he also wants us to be successful in our faith and be able to incorporate our faith into our work. And, you know, show our trust in him through our actions, through tithing, through, you know, all different ways, through giving back, through service. So I think that, yes, God does want us to be successful. He wants us to thrive. But that definition of success is just different from what we see the world's definition of success being.
Ryan, it's like you got my notes. So just to echo Brian off of that, it's exactly my sentiment, right? It's what is success? And oftentimes, I don't think what we as a world may think of success, be it money, fame, recognition, all of those things that are just worldly, those are not something that sort of is at, that sometimes or most times at odds, right, with what the definition of success through, I think, you know, the Catholic lens is. And so, you know, it's, again, it goes back to that framing. I believe, you know, if we frame it as success as, you know, I'm happy, I have a great faith, I've got a great family life, I have great friends, that is to me a little bit more important than I think the success that the world says that they offer. So just to echo that, Brian, I think that's spot on.
Right. It's so difficult nowadays to kind of like break through the noise of what society is yelling at us of like, this is successful, this is what you need to be doing, and listening, like really tuning in to what success, how we define success. It doesn't have to be what everybody else is. It could be more in line with our faith, and, you know, our ultimate goal is to get to heaven, not necessarily to have $1 million. And if you have $1 million, like, what do you do with it? Like there's different ways, like you were saying, Brian, about how he created a community when he could have done anything, could have bought an island if he wanted to. And I think that's really unique with our generation, especially like what you were saying, Dom, about the shift towards remote work. And there's also, I've noticed a deviation from not only traditional job advancement, but from education. We were brought up with this idea that the harder we work, the faster we'll get to where we want to go. And we measured our worth by our busyness. Like, and I remember, especially during the pandemic, it was, I have nothing to do, but I feel like I should be doing something, you know, or like, I can't rest because I'm supposed to be doing it. Like my to-do list was like a mile long. And now, again, thanks to the pandemic, there's this movement against what was traditionally known as hustle culture and pushing towards productive rest, which is something the Bible has said from the beginning. I mean, God was a worker. He spent 6 days creating the world and then he rested on the seventh. So how do we rest well, and why is resting well important?
Yeah, I think so. To take that, you're exactly right. There was that constant need to be doing something. And then, you know, it only took a global pandemic, but it took that to basically say, you know, hey, maybe it's not all about work. Maybe it's not all about moving up. And so I completely agree, but I like to look at that question too in the lens of if we're resting, like you said, how are we resting though? Is it, you know, is it possibly picking up an hour of adoration, right? Instead of that next Netflix episode, but I'm guilty of that, right? But maybe it's taking a walk. Maybe it's, you know, volunteering and not, you know, watching that next TikTok, doing that next thing where it's like, you know, trying to fulfill your time well with things that are of a better outlet than doing some, you know, other activities that aren't. Like I said, adoration is great. It's perfect. You know, volunteering is very fulfilling. And then just trying to do those activities while not just having the outlet of things that are easy to do, right? Like I said, that those activities on electronics.
So for me, getting away and getting kind of off the grid, even if, you know, it's only 15, 20 minutes away, but just having that time away from my phone or, you know, any device to just kind of relax, reset, going out for a run, going for a bike ride.
We've unfortunately run out of time, but if you'd like to hear the rest of this episode, you can listen to us anytime on Spotify under Candid Catholic Convos, or you can download this episode from our website at hbgdiocese.org. For more info and details on how to register, visit www.youngcatholicprofessionals.org/chapter/South Central PA. Thank you so much for listening. Our goal at the Diocese of Harrisburg is to walk with you on your faith journey. So if this episode resonated with you in any way, the easiest way to show your appreciation is by sharing this program with your network or by leaving a review on your listening platform. You can also support us financially by making a donation online at hbgdiocese.org/DAC and clicking the Make a Donation button. Thanks again, and we'll see you at church on Sunday.